This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Somewhat aging left tackle and a need for depth there. You can, you know, that seems to be the heart and soul of this team. I have no problem with them. If that is the direction they go. Kang, do you have a pick?
I got to go with Princely. Oh, man, you're yelling. Because I want to hear Dan Miller say it like that. And then he'll be like, I'm yelling too. And Lomas be like, yeah, you are. But yeah, that's the only reason why. I really don't know much about him. But I do know his position. And right now, I'm just into position and the cool name. Yeah.
You are yelling, Dan.
You're loud and clear.
I love me some Lomas. All right. The pick is in, according to Mel Kiper. And with the 28th pick, the Detroit Lions select Oluwafemi Oladejo, outside linebacker, UCLA. And here's what he writes. On one hand, Detroit ran into bad luck in 2024 with an inconceivable number of injuries to its defense, seemingly dooming its otherwise dominant team. On the other, the Lions never really had a clear number two pass rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Za'Darius Smith had four sacks over eight games after a midseason trade to Detroit, but no other edge had more than three sacks. The rest of the roster is too good to ignore this, and GM Brad Holmes should be looking for answers in both free agency and the draft. Oladejo has steadily risen in this class, moving from round three to round two conversation with a good Senior Bowl week. The jump to round one is a bit of a projection, but Oladejo is getting buzz right now. I think he can be in this range after the combine. He should test well considering his burst and intensity. And while he had just 4.5 sacks in 2024, his tape is really good.
So this guy's 6'3", 250 pounds at UCLA. And by all accounts, it seems like he can play a little bit inside as well. He's good against the run and is developing as a pass rusher. Interesting. I mentioned yesterday about Scouts Inc. That's who ESPN has to rank the top prospects. Mel will do his own rankings of players as well, and other people will. But for right now, this is just the early look. Scouts Inc. has him as the 24th rated edge rusher.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, way back there. But this is what is going to be fun with the combine on Thursday. Combine starts off with you get to see defensive linemen and linebackers. So he's going to work out on Thursday. We're going to see. You know, how much he can soar. If Mel liked it, obviously Mel liked him at the Senior Bowl workouts. Okay, let's see how he does this week at the Combine and if he truly will ratchet up the charts. But there's a lot of names ahead of him on this list. So we'll see how he compares to JT Tuimoloau or Jack Sawyer or Josiah Stewart or, you know, I'm yelling at you, whatever the guy's name is. Booming yelling.
Yeah. All right. I said we bring this up. Let me do. Oh, yeah. So the pick's in. They take Oladejo from UCLA. We'll see how it plays out in the combine. Thursday is when the workouts begin. Over the last several years, the three of us have all got in on quarterbacks in the draft. And have said we would go after this guy. We'd like to see him as a Lion. Lions did their own thing and just went and got Jared Goff, and thank God that they did. I find myself now rooting desperately for any one of our three to go out and get a starting job. Any one of our three to go out and prove to be worthwhile. Mine was Malik Willis, who was drafted by Tennessee and has since been moved on to Green Bay. Of all teams, I hate that it's Green Bay because I don't want Green Bay's quarterback play to be good.
No, and obviously Jordan Love is their guy, so he's not likely to ascend past Jordan Love.
Gator was in the Zach Wilson camp, who went to the Jets.
One more games than Aaron Rodgers, but he's not there.
No.
And
you love that stat.
I do, and I will bring it up every single. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Kang, his guy is Trey Lance,
who might be released any day.
Yeah, he's getting released, and so he's looking for a new home. So Kang, your guy is on the open market.
That's right.
Can he find the right fit? He hasn't had the right fit yet. Can he just find the right fit?
Him and Aaron Rodgers competing out there in the free agency market with each other. Like
supply and demand, yeah, Kang, right? Supply and demand.
So my thing with Trey Lance, obviously, has not worked out.
Yet.
Yeah. But I will say this about Trey Lance, hold on and hope, is he does not have many starts in the NFL. Maybe there's a reason why for that, right? But I do contend that when he was trying to, when he finally got that start over with the Niners, and he started one game, and his second game was in a monsoon in Chicago, and that's where he broke his leg or got hurt. And since then, has just never gotten a chance again. The Cowboys traded a fourth-round pick, I believe, for him, which was weird. We all thought that was weird. And then they just sat him behind Cooper Rush when Dak Prescott got hurt. And that made no sense to me. But I thought, there's got
to
be
a chance to play.
You would think, but then there's got to be a reason why they're not playing him. Is he that bad? But then he finally did get a shot at the end of the year, and he didn't look that bad. And I'm like, I was with you, Gator. Like, why were they playing Cooper Rush over
him? Let him play.
You know what you have in Cooper Rush. It's not going to be much.
Yeah, you're not making the playoffs.
No. Play the guy you traded a fourth-round pick for. Maybe he's got something there. Let him develop because he needs time on the field, like I said. And right now, who knows? He's probably not going to get a shot. But all three of our guys are still in the league technically. My guy's not right now.
I'm ecstatic that Malik Willis played two games and contributed to two wins and didn't play that bad. I swear to God, all three of these guys still not dead yet. Not dead yet.
Not up in here. Still have a chance. Malik Willis is interesting because I feel like he's firmly planted as being the backup.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that shot.
I don't want to root for him, though.
Trey Lance, I feel like, his chances are just to latch on as like a third quarterback on a team, not a backup at this point, because he hasn't gotten that opportunity to play. And my guy, Zach Wilson, didn't even get a snap last year with Denver. So
still on a roster.
Is he on Denver's roster?
Had more wins in New York than...
I guess he's still on Denver.
Than your boy.
Yeah, my boy, yeah. I would think that there would be some team that would bring in Zach Wilson that would want to bring him in to get a look as in a backup situation. Or does he stay with Denver? I don't know.
All right, well, we'll continue to monitor the progress of Trey Lance, Malik Willis, and Zach Wilson, all infamous on this show. We did Are You Going to Eat That last week, and we've got some follow-ups. One of us has sampled one of the products. We'll have a food review at 120 here on Carson Anderson. A 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, warm up your winter with these hot deals from Sarah Chevy in Sterling Heights. Right now, lease a new, beautiful 2025 Chevy Blazer for just $364 a month with no money down. That's a two-year lease on a Blazer LT front-wheel drive with zero money down. Unlock the savings with a GM employee discount and Chevy lease in your household with approved credit. Don't forget, Sarah Chevy in Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. That means they have a huge inventory of Silverados, Equinox, Blazers, Trax, and electric vehicles, hundreds on the ground to choose from. 17.5 in Van Dyke and Sterling Heights. Stay warm and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH. Go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. Some feedback coming in here on the Pistons. You know what's wild? The reports coming out of Phoenix, they're melting down. They may be primed for a full reset in the offseason. Bring D-Book home and we'll be a championship contender for at least 5+ years. I feel like Devin Booker, there are players that just feel like you totally can see them being here. He is one of them. It's been going on for a while.
I think Matt Ishbia wants to move his best player.
No.
No? Okay.
But would he do it for his home state? Right?
Tell you what, if we're allowed to do that, we'll let you build that racetrack in your backyard. If you move Devin
Booker. Are you part of the HOA there, Gator?
Right, yeah, right.
Man, how does the other side live, Doug?
No kidding.
Gator, I'll come over and watch the game. I didn't know.
You know, they might be wanting to free up some time for Grayson Allen there. So maybe, you know, moving on from Devin Booker.
You got great. That's an upstanding citizen. Mm-hmm. That's a guy that you want on your team.
So the Devin Booker thing, it won't kind of like go away because, I get it. He's a great player in the prime of his career. Pistons could use another star. And Devin Booker from the state of Michigan, he is always rocking local gear.
Yep.
After like a Suns game, he'll have a Tigers hat on or a Red Wing jersey on or a Lions hoodie, you know, getting coffee. Like, did you see what he was doing the other day?
No.
He was at some ski resort or something.
Is he drinking the Verners?
Maybe. And he had a Grand Rapids Griffins hockey jersey on. Like, randomly, like,
that's
you know what I mean?
That's like, please trade me to Detroit.
Like, this guy, he's the best, like, pure Michigan walking billboard there is.
He's got a DCFC scarf.
I mean, he is a Grand Rapids native, so it's not, that does, might be it, but.
No, but all the other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to ask for Cade, right? And what we're going to offer back is Jaden Ivey and stuff. And
how about Torkin Junk?
Yeah, that's. Was the trade? What was it?
Wenzel Perez.
Yeah. I don't see the match. Like, you'd have to come up with, you'd have to have somebody else's great draft pick, and then some.
Well,
and then a non-injured Jaden Ivey.
Well, that's the problem. It's the non-injured Jaden Ivey. Had Ivey been healthy, and you know Pistons doing what they're doing, and he's averaging close to 20 a game, and he's and shooting as well as he was, 40% from 3-point land. You could have the start of something there, but now it's a lot harder to do if you're just going to go ahead and say, okay, here's Ivy and 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks, and who else off the roster can we give you?
Mm-hmm. And a racetrack in your backyard.
And a racetrack in your backyard.
From an unnamed texter, despite their success, the Pistons still don't pass the eye test for me as a good team. We'll be watching the next 2 games closely to see if that changes for me.
Well, was it Boston and Denver coming up?
Yep.
That'll do it, right?
Yep.
I thought they passed a pretty good test last night with the Clippers.
Well,
it's a good team.
I think, you know, you look at teams that are kind of in the same cluster of teams you are. And teams like Atlanta, they've had success against Atlanta.
But back end of double, back-to-back? The second of the back-to-back
second of the
games.
Back-to-backs beating a Clippers team, which is an over 500 team in the West, which is respectable. Yeah, you know, there's some games mixed in there that aren't as impressive, but I would admit that the game against Boston feels like it's probably for some people a credibility game. Okay. We have 2 follow-ups here regarding items from Are You Going to Eat That here on this show, which has kind of become a once a week staple here on the Carson Anderson program. We find new food items, menu items, innovations, and we ask, would you try them? We all answer it, but you know, I think people want to hear Gator's opinions more than anybody else's, especially mine. Willie sent us a tweet last night. Gator, banana bread Pop-Tarts are amazing. Good luck on finding some. I found mine at Meijer.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, if you found them at Meijer, then I feel like that should be easy to find.
There is a Meijer near you.
I feel like
you.
There are, yeah, good amount of Meijer.
There's no shortage of Meijer.
A lot of Meijer.
Now with more Meijer. Michigan, now with more Meijer. Meijer.
Yeah.
In fact, we got did you see this? We got a voicemail to text at the radio station.
We did?
Yeah. That Cheryl had sent us.
No, I didn't see that.
May have just been sent to me, actually. It says, so funny, I was listening to the show this morning, and I can't remember if it was Gator or who it was who was looking for the banana bread Pop-Tart. They're at Kroger in Westbourne in Dearborn, FYI. Glad to hear it. So people are letting us know where to find them. I really want to try it.
I do too. And believe it or not, I like banana flavored stuff. And some people say, except when you got too much of like that banana flavoring. I even like the banana flavoring. The fake banana flavoring taste, which is weird. But I guess it's the extra preservatives. I don't know.
Preservatives?
So
just extra love is all it is.
Is that what it is? So thumbs up from Willie on the banana bread Pop-Tarts. And Gator, you actually sampled one of the foods we had on. Are you going to eat that yourself?
I made sure that on the way home yesterday, I just had the hankering. I mean, you mentioned that it was National Tortilla Chip Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, I'll go to Taco Bell, hit the drive-thru, and get a Nacho Bell Grande and a grilled cheese burrito.
Yep.
And the birthday cake churro, which what was mentioned
Gator
last week. Or was it Monday or was it last week when we mentioned it? The birthday cake churro. I remember somebody had it, and they called on the show, and they said they had it, and they thought it lacked. The only thing it lacked was they wanted more of the cream filling. I can understand why the caller would say that. It does lack a little bit on the inside of the churro, but it more than delivers with taste. It's not too sweet. You'd think it would be, because it's got like sprinkles and stuff on the outside of it, make it a very festive birthday cake churro. But in true churro form, crunch on the outside and a good chew on the inside, not too sweet. I thought it was delicious. Two thumbs up from this fat guy.
Okay, so, and you said something that intrigues me, and you know me. You say it's not too sweet.
Yes.
Which is something that I might be able to get on board with.
Because it's not like it's frosted and it's sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar. Now, look, it's a churro. It's going to have it's cinnamon sugar and all that, but it's. I didn't find it to be too sweet or too much. I thought it was really good. And the only problem that I had with it is that I waited to, you know, by the time I was done eating my Taco Bell, the churro was no longer warm. I suppose I could have thrown it in the microwave for a few seconds and it would have been great, because I imagine that thing fresh has to be spectacular. And it was really good.
So you give it a thumbs up?
Yeah, two thumbs up.
And you think it's possible that I won't hate it?
I think it's quite possible. And Ken, you'd love it.
Thank you. I will try it. Gator approved. They should tell. I'm going to tell Taco Bell. This is Gator approved, by the way.
Gator approved.
Hey, by the way, when you went, did you talk to a human when you ordered, or was it one of the AI? You know,
started with AI.
Oh, it did. Well, started, is that AI or was it recording?
Well, it was a recording. I was asking if I was going to order through the app, and I said no. And then a guy got on the horn and talked indirectly.
If you're going to order through the app, wouldn't you have already done it?
Well, that's why it's going to ask you. If you did, and then if you say I did, then they just say, come on up, pick it up.
It'd say, did you order through the app? Not if you're going to order through the app. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And I did not, because I do not. Because
I find that if I have a chance to order stuff through the app, I will do it, because it just expedites the entire process. You pull up, you go grab your stuff, you get out of there. And there's no waiting in line at the drive-thru. I did go to one place recently where they told me, I walked in, I said, here, I'm here to pick up, you know, for Doug, and they were like, okay, we're gonna make it. And I said, okay, we ordered it 20 minutes ago, and they said, we start the order when you walk through the door. And I'm like, then what's the point?
No.
What's the point if you're waiting for me to get there before you start?
I also have an update from a friend of mine who went to Raising Cane's.
Oh yeah?
Oh, was there a line?
So he also went with the app.
Oh, okay.
And was going to get a bunch of the chicken fingers for the family or whatever.
Yep.
And the sauce.
And sauce, right, along with bread and fries.
Mm-hmm.
And was set the order to be picked up. You could set it ahead of time. What time you want to pick it up? He wants to pick it up at 6 o'clock. So he leaves the house. He lives about 45 minutes away from where the Raising Cane's
are. Oh, wow. He's making a little
making
drive.
An effort. Yeah. Gets there, and as he's approaching, he sees a ridiculous amount of traffic. There are people directing traffic where to go, and he's like, yeah, I got an order I made online. They're like, okay, well, get in this line over here. You got to get in the drive-thru line. The drive-thru line was 2.5 hours long.
No.
And he was in the line for 2.5 hours.
What?
Got to the drive-thru and explained, yeah, I had an order for Scott. and it should be there. And they're like, okay, well, we don't see the order. He's like, are you kidding me? I ordered it. Here's the number and all. And they're like, sorry, we don't see it, but we can make the order for you by the time you get through. Like, okay, let's do that. But it was 2.5 hours of waiting in the line of the drive-through, because that's how crazy things are right
still.
Now. Still. I mean, it's been like 2 weeks, but...
Yeah, has it been 2 weeks?
That's insane. That is absolutely, positively insane to wait that long.
All right, so people are speaking from the combine, including our own Brad Holmes. We'll get to some of what he is saying at this hour. Also, Cleveland talking about Myles Garrett's future. We'll get to that straight ahead here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so GMs and coaches speaking today from the combine. And there's a lot of stuff that's relevant to you, Detroit Lions fans. We will start with this. The Cleveland Browns general manager, Andrew Berry, speaking earlier today, and I've just lost the tweet, so I will sum it up here. Asked about Myles Garrett. We can't imagine a situation where not having Myles as a part of our organization is best for the Browns. There was one writer, I think, let's see if I can find it, said their takeaway was they are not interested at all in trading Myles Garrett. So Myles Garrett has demanded a trade, but the Browns have to grant that request. And as of this time, Andrew Berry is either playing the game of driving the price up, which very well he could be doing, and saying we can't imagine a future without him. Reporter that covers the Browns, named Matthew Peterson, says nothing has changed on the Myles Garrett front. Zero trade interest still. And then there's this from Brad Holmes. NFL.com writer Kevin Patra. Lions GM Brad Holmes asked if he can add another star pass rusher. Quote, probably not.
He's playing the game.
Yep. That word was not absolutely. It was probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. That's like when your dad says, we'll see. We'll see. Can I get a new puppy, Dad?
If I had to ask you right now, is Myles Garrett getting traded to the Lions?
No.
Kang, is Myles Garrett getting traded to the Lions?
I wouldn't bet on it.
Now, if I asked you, is Myles Garrett getting traded?
I think I'd lean towards no. My 51 is no.
Kang, is Myles Garrett getting traded?
I think he is.
I think he's getting traded.
But neither. So one, two, none of us thinks he's getting traded to the Lions.
Yeah.
No, because I think that I think there are so many teams that could offer a better package than what the Lions can that it's non-competitive. That's the problem with drafting at 28. You know, unless it get to draft night and the Lions find a way to move up into the draft, or if a player that Cleveland covets is slipping, it's really tough to make happen.
I don't want this to turn into the storyline,
right,
of the offseason and into the season. They should, you know, the whole they should have got Myles Garrett thing. Unless we see Myles Garrett gets moved for nothing, then you really only, if he gets moved for something that everybody agrees is affordable and would have been affordable to Detroit, then I think we have grounds for outrage or for disappointment, for vocalizing that. And I mean, I guess I don't like telling you how to feel. I will not be overly upset unless I see him getting moved for something that seems like that's all they got. And if that happens, I'll say it. Otherwise, I've come to learn over the years getting mad about trades that didn't happen when we don't even know what trades were really offered and what the discussions were is kind of arrogant to think that you know what was out there.
Yeah, I can't be critical of something until it happens or doesn't happen. I mean, it's all hypothetical at this point. Do I want the Lions to go after a top-notch edge rusher, be it Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, one of those guys? Yeah, I'd love to. But how available are they really? We don't know yet. We know that Myles Garrett has said publicly he wants to be traded. What we also know publicly, Cleveland says absolutely not. We're not going to trade him. Mm-hmm. So,
and Brad Holmes now has said probably not.
He said probably not. But, you know, is he saying probably not because he knows that that type of player isn't available? Or is he saying probably not because, look, we're about ready to announce extensions for Aiden Hutchinson and Kirby Joseph, and we've got other players we're looking at, and, you know, we're going to bring this guy back and try to bring this guy back. We just don't have the room for it. Who knows? We'll find out in weeks to come when it gets to free agency and see what they do. And it was during the draft that they had that flurry of long-term contracts with Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then it wasn't long after that, a couple weeks after that, it was Jared Goff.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's tough because he seems like he'd be perfect. It seems like Myles Garrett, opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, they would have this dynamic 1-2 combination that would be impossible to stop. But we have brought up that there really is a price. There is a ceiling. You can't, get him no matter what guy doesn't even really believe it. Because when you give him some of the no matter what offers, you go, well, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But then there's just the picking at 28th screws them. It's great because it means you're good, but it's so easy for a team picking in the teens to top it. And there are teams in the teens that I imagine Myles Garrett wouldn't say no to. I don't think he'd say no to San Francisco. I don't think he'd say no to Dallas.
You hate to say it, but it's almost like with a player like that, is it better to try to work out a trade at the trade deadline?
Yeah.
For someone where, okay, teams are desperate to try to unload somebody before they lose them to free agency. They got to do something about it. They're not going anywhere. You know, can that happen? Is that easier to accept? Okay, we'll take your two crappy first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not crappy. They're still first-round picks, but they're late.
And I apologize if people like, Dallas, San Francisco, cap issues, whatever, before we even get that text. There are other teams that are in better cap shape that could take him. Chicago. Is Chicago a hopeless organization? They look like they're in a better position than the Browns. I mean, hell, Pittsburgh, Denver, Tampa. These are all teams that have reasonably significant, better draft position than the Lions. I guess I'm just, Gator, trying to keep it realistic here. And also trying to quell the Myles Garrett panic if he doesn't end up here. Not getting Myles Garrett does not close the window.
I don't think people will be panicked, especially, and I don't think they'll be that disappointed, Doug, because I think if he does get traded, Myles Garrett, I think the price tag is going to be so big, they're going to be like, whoa, we couldn't give that up anyway. The Lions don't have the ammunition to get Myles Garrett.
I guess people panicked and are still upset about not getting Chase Young and Montez Sweat.
That was different because then you saw what they got. Like Chase Young went for a third round pick, right?
Yeah.
People think, well, that's not that much to try to quote unquote go for it that year. The Sweat thing is, hey, I think people knew if they didn't want to give up that contract, you weren't going to get Montez Sweat. If you want Myles Garrett, not only do you have to give up draft capital, you might have to give up a guy like a Gibbs, a Kirby Joseph, a young player, Jack Campbell, whoever. And I don't think fans really want to do that.
Well, I guess we'll see if and when Myles Garrett gets traded and if and when what he goes for. But at this point, the GM of the Browns today, if you're just joining us, saying they're not interested in trading Myles Garrett, doesn't see a future without him on the roster. And Brad Holmes asked about adding another star pass rusher. His response, probably not. Your reaction to that, 248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. That's going on at this hour from Indianapolis with the GMs speaking. Hey, we got a big NBA game tonight. Listen up. FanDuel is giving all customers a 50% same game profit boost for tonight's matchup. Mavs and Lakers. First time since that blockbuster trade, will Luka come out hot to try and show the world he's in shape? Well, some things to consider on a Luka same game parlay, over 25 or more points. Same thing with assists, 6 assists or more, 8 rebounds or more. That's a same game parlay. Mix and match with players from either team, really, and you can get an even bigger payout. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug for your same game parlay profit boost for tonight's Mavs-Lakers game. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Don't forget to do that. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
There you go. It's Brad Holmes speaking at this hour down in Indianapolis. And quite frankly, I love hearing him talk draft. This is like the best drafter we've had, obviously, in Lions history. But you go back and you look at some of the great Red Wings drafts where we were pulling Hall of Famers in mid to late rounds out of Europe. That kind of success. That was kind of a hack That was like a draft hack, one of the first teams to go take advantage of Europe as a pipeline to the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's under operating the same way as everybody else, and he's just crushed it in the draft. Now, the topic, though, really is Andrew Berry of Cleveland saying, we're not trading Myles Garrett. And Brad Holmes asked, can you see adding another star pass rusher? And him saying, probably not. So here we go. Feedback coming in. The bigger point isn't their potential offer. It's their arrogance that they want to win with their guys. Is it arrogance, or is it this is a sustainable model? We draft. We know these players. We trust them. We sign them long term. They help us win. And we feel safe that they will give us consistent performances throughout the course of the contract because we know them. They work under our system. Is that an arrogance?
I don't think it's arrogance. I think that they definitely like what they have and they want to build from that. And I think there's also an acknowledgement. I know he said that. I'm looking for the tweet now. There's not a restriction on that. And that's payroll. It's hard to add another big salary to this team when he knows what he's trying to do. He's going to try to sign, and it will likely sign, guys like Aiden Hutchinson and Kirby Joseph to eat up a big chunk of that.
He did say today, paraphrasing because I don't have the tweet in front of me, that's something that they're working on right now. But see, this guy's interpreting it as arrogance that they want to win with their own guys. I think it's predictability, and it speaks to the level of vetting. They're really comfortable with a certain type of player that works here. But this guy sees it as arrogance.
Yeah, well, I don't see it as arrogance. I think he's being responsible with what they have.
It could be. I mean, it could be, but it's such a negative spin on somebody who's been so good for Detroit. I don't know.
He says, pass rush will never be ignored and never has been, he said, but those guys are hard to find. And again, there's until outside of Myles Garrett is saying that he wants out, but Cleveland hasn't said we're trading him. In fact, they said the opposite. Cincinnati still has Trey Hendrickson under another year for contract. Micah Parsons, I mean, there's rumors that Dallas may end up looking to trade Micah Parsons because they could see that they can't afford him. But if Dallas can't afford him, he's going to be tough to afford for other teams as he gets ready to set the market with his contract, which the Lions are likely to do anyway with Aiden Hutchinson. So to have two guys, it is hard to do it. In our minds as fans, it's simple. I'll just make this and trade this guy,
just
and those
go get all the best players.
Assets. Just go ahead
just
and
go
do
get
it.
All the best players.
You know, but there's obviously a lot more to it. And the number one thing that is the part of the a lot more, a player has to be available.
Accessibility.
Yeah. I mean, until the Raiders come out and say we're shopping Max Crosby is not available. You know, and until Hendrickson becomes available, he's not. Micah Parsons, he's not. It's tough to work.
Unnamed texter, if the Lions don't at least ask about Garrett and think they can keep building through the draft to win, they'll never understand what it takes to win and will never win.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, this is exactly why, Kang, you say people aren't going to panic. They're panicked now. They're already freaking out.
I underestimated your irrational Lions fan.
Dude, this is the best position we've been in as far as a sustainable Super Bowl contender for some time. Like this, the window's not closing after this year. This is a sustainable Super Bowl contender. This is the best position we've ever been. And we've got, they'll never understand what it takes to win, and they're arrogant. These are the first two texts we get. Brian in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
You guys have got me like laughing in disgust here. It's like, oh, really? Like Brad Holmes never thought about picking up the phone and calling to see if Myles Garrett was available.
Right.
That just dawned on him today because somebody sent that text in. Like, oh, like he's just like, oh my God, maybe I should call the Browns. Like, But it's funny, you know, you brought up, I had to turn off the radio a bit earlier, but talking about, you know, drafting offensive linemen and stuff with the first pick. Like, you know, I think people need to prepare themselves. So that certainly could be something that happens. I mean, what's Taylor Decker, 10 years in the league, 9 years in the league, 11, something like that. He's, you know, getting up there.
Ragnow's older.
Frank Ragnow is fighting through injury after injury after injury after injury. I mean, would it be crazy if we woke up tomorrow and saw a headline that said Frank Ragnow announces retirement?
Well, he said he's coming back. It doesn't feel like there's, you know, he's closer to the end than the beginning.
Yeah, point is they need to start thinking about replacing both of those guys. Not that they have to do it this year, that player will step in and be the starter, but you could draft that guy this year, and maybe they've already drafted one of those guys with picks they've used in the last couple of years, but there's absolutely nothing wrong if they select an offensive lineman at 28. I mean, we're past the point where, I mean, can we look at the offense and say they don't need to draft a running back in a first round, a wide receiver, they don't have to do it in the first round, they don't need a tight end in the first round, they don't need a quarterback in the first round. So all the shiny pieces on offense, you don't have to worry about. But in the trenches where he wants to build things out, I'm all for it. Absolutely all for it. And if there happens to be this awesome edge rusher at 28, I have full confidence that they'll go get him.
Absolutely. And for all we know, let's just say for sake of argument that we're watching the draft at 28, they take an offensive tackle, a left tackle, right tackle, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, there's going to be people calling your station raging, saying, oh, my God, they're not in win-now mode. For all we know, Taylor Decker told the team, hey, this is my last season, and I'm retired after this year. You know what I mean? For all, and, like, the thing that cracks me up is for all the people that would be calling and screaming, you know who wouldn't be calling and screaming? Those same people if at the end of the year Taylor Decker retired and we had someone to slide into that spot.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I'm getting at. And it sounds like you guys basically agree to me. It's better to have a succession plan in place then be left holding the bag.
Hey, thank you for the phone call, Brian. 248-539-9797. More feedback here. Love the pairing of Hutch and Myles Garrett, but I'm just as intrigued by keeping Za'Darius Smith and maybe adding Khalil Mack or Chase Young on a short-term deal, who should be more effective with Hutch on the other side, and keep our draft capital that Holmes has been so effective in getting impact players with.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's something to really look at when you get to free agency. There's going to be this flurry of activity to start. And then what Brad Holmes is fantastic at is playing the waiting game.
Second wave.
Yep. Let things calm down a little bit. And then all of a sudden you get a bargain on somebody. Will Khalil Mack end up being in a bargain? Or is he going to be one of the first guys gone?
I really don't think they'd have interest in Chase Young, but
I don't either.
Here is Stoney.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Okay. Just took some panic texts about the Myles Garrett quotes from down in Indy.
Yeah, the ones from the Cleveland GM or the one from Brad Holmes who says, we don't need one. Give me two. Give me three. Give me four.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
They asked me about pass rushers. He goes, well, I don't think we need a high end. You know, obviously, I'd like to have one, two, three, or four of them. To me, with Brad Holmes, I know it hasn't manifested yet. I don't care that much what these guys say. Actions speak louder than words, and especially this time of the year. So
probably a smart approach. Look, I mean, when he's asked if he thinks you can have room for another high-end pass rusher, he says probably not.
Right.
He's probably accurate. But teams right now, there's teams out there. There's a long stretch of teams winning Super Bowls without number one and number two, or number one and number three of edge rushers in the in the NFL.
Correct.
Like that would give them two for sure top five edge rushers if they did this. Who's ever had that?
Not very many teams.
Not very many teams. No. And yet somehow those teams without that win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not going to panic.
No, neither am I. I wouldn't call it a luxury, but it would be great to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, whether you believe the general manager, do you believe Andrew Berry when he says that they're not going to trade Myles Garrett? I don't know.
I believe him today.
Yeah. mean, well, that's the whole thing.
Once he realizes that, you know, it's okay. Now people are really inquiring about it. There's some realistic offers out here, and they'll do what they do. But until a player is actually available, you know, you want one of the top edge rushers, great. Who doesn't? But are they actually available?
I know.
And if they're not, then they're not. But if they are, okay, then we can get in that discussion what's going to cost. The problem is these top edge rushers are going to command well north of $30 million a year, including our own.
Correct. And can you afford $60 million or $55 million at that position? I don't know.
If you want to win, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, they were winning last year, and unfortunately, with all the injuries that they had the roster to do it last year without adding that piece.
If it were that easy, like, I just feel like there's this thought out there. Just go get all the best players in the league. You'll win.
Yeah.
If it were that easy.
No, I'm not saying that, but, I mean, if you got a defensive line, that's the best way to shut down the mobile QB. You put pressure on them. You've seen it time after time again.
Yes, but there are more examples of teams winning Super Bowls without a 1-2 combination like that on a defensive line than there are examples of teams winning Super Bowl with a 1-2 combination like that.
Yeah, and I don't know, right, two of those pieces last year. I mean, the mobile quarterback didn't – the mobility of Jaden Daniels isn't what cost the Lions that game. And if they only had, I don't know, maybe
Aiden Hutchinson
or Lee McNeil, that might help.
Or the quarterback didn't turn the ball over.
Well, right, that's the other thing, is the offensive side of the ball, the quarterback let them down.
What do you guys got playing coming up next?
Well, we're going to talk about the Pistons a little bit. We'll play a little bit of Brad Holmes, too. But the Pistons, yesterday I asked, how good are they? They're starting to look like they're really good. And a comparison between a member of this Piston team to a Piston in the past, it's got people a little bit excited around here.
And are we still trusting in Brad? At all costs.
Have a great show. Stay.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.